Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late, everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral's praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Woo. Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's a Monday afternoon here, post-Irma, after a week after, and I think for the most part, hopefully a lot of you have power by now. But I am in the Danger Studios here on Monday. It's nice. It's about 185 fucking degrees out in Florida. And our new Monday, one of our new co-hosts on Monday, Ethan Moore, is with us.
Hi, Dougie. Good to be here.
Nice to have you.
Welcome back to all of our listeners who have power now.
Right.
And if you still don't have power, fuck you. You have no advertising dollars anyway.
Yeah, if you don't have power now, then it probably means you never got picked for kickball. you probably, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you were the last one to get picked. And we have a special guest in the studio, Florida comedian. This kid's, you can't be in the Florida comedy scene without hearing about this young man, Hennessy Williams.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I hope you guys on Facebook Live are appreciating this temple I've built for you. this beautiful Buddha body that I've brought out.
I know people ask why I don't have the camera closer to me. I'm like, it's fine. I'll be back here by the desk.
It's not often that I'm the skinniest guy in the room, guys.
You have put on a few pounds, dude, lately.
Hey, you lost like a bunch of weight, and now you're like slowly getting it back.
I lost it all on the heroin, man, and now I'm sober.
Oh,
and
you were a sexy junkie.
Yeah, I was.
Now you're,
man,
just like turning
one of those rail thin spindly junkies.
Oh, you know? Nice.
The ladies used to just love it. You
a
know?
Real Jesus on the cross.
Yeah,
look.
Yeah.
He's got nice abs.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm just eating key lime pie.
No, but you have gained a little weight, right?
Yeah, I did. Like, I'm actually trying to lose some now. I'm back at it. I did some yoga this morning.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Trying to get back in shape. Cut the sugar. Do the yoga.
Now, when you say you did yoga, did you go do yoga somewhere, or did you
yeah.
do it in your house?
No. I did it at a yoga studio.
I tell single guys that's a great way to meet chicks.
Oh yeah,
it
definitely.
Is.
Yeah.
It is until like you fall down
or start farting.
Yeah, like I did hot yoga once in my life.
That's what I did this morning.
It was awful. I never want to do it again. I never ever want to, because I don't like heat,
right,
to begin with, and now you're telling me I'm about to like be on top of my head,
yeah,
in the heat.
It's yeah. funny when it's like hot yoga in Florida. It's like, really, do we need to?
Yeah,
just go outside.
You're almost literally bringing sand to the beach at that point.
Yeah, yeah,
everything's hot yoga now in the last 2 weeks here in Florida. But if you had to deal without power, you had to deal with it for a little bit. Right?
I walked in my house, which was still boarded up with no air conditioning, and I was there for all of 5 minutes because I thought I was just outlasted. I was like, I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I came back from out of town, and I went in there, and I was like, this is not okay. This shouldn't be allowed. This should be against the law.
So you just left immediately?
I left immediately. I started making arrangements the moment I stepped into the house.
Right. You stepped into the house, walked outside, and then got a hotel.
Or
called a friend. Or
basically, that's what happened. Yeah, yeah. I walked in and then immediately went into a hotel that night.
Right.
It was too much. It was horrible.
During Wilma, we lost it for like a week. And it was, you know, but well, we were lucky during Wilma, because during Wilma, it was like, it was a cool front. Cause like,
I remember October. That. Yeah, it was like cool outside
yeah.
for a while.
Yeah, you left the windows open and everything, but this was brutal. So if you're just getting power, you know, because you should have power by now. Like I said, if you don't, then you're fucked. But it's been fun. Like I did shows in Marco Island or Naples this week.
Yeah, yeah. How was that? I almost went with you on that show, but I had something else
yeah,
I had to do.
I was going to help, you know, offer a nice little offering, mm-hmm. you know? Like people say, oh, Doug's a dick, but then, you know.
Doug, you always help me out with stuff.
I was, you know what I mean? I try to be not, you know, like you're in the newer scene, mm-hmm. and I know that you hang around some comics that probably they said that guy's an asshole, Like, I heard that. You know, it was like some local comics at the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like...
I'll say this much. Like, when I remember for a while, I'm a very honest person. I try to be honest as much as I can. Even when I met you, it wasn't that I didn't think, like, you didn't... I was just like, I don't know what his opinion of me is. Because I'm usually really good at picking up what people's opinion of me is. And then we would see each other, and I would be like, I think I introduced myself three times to him. But I don't know if he know if it's, like, registering or not. But I never, like, really made... in a like a decision either way.
Yeah.
But there are people who might not like or whatever for whatever reason might not connect or click with you or whatever, but it was one of those things where what it is I realize you're just like me in that you are cordial to strangers, but you treat strangers like strangers.
Yeah, until I know somebody, I'm not gonna come up. Like the one thing I did hear though, that's like when you hear about character, you know, mm-hmm. people and shit, like you're funny. I've seen the guy's funny, guy, you know, he's like, and then one time I guess it was at an open mic.
Yeah.
But somebody says when you come into an open mic, you don't ask, you know, wherever you are on the list, you'll go last. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a bitch when it comes to that. Now I'm like, dude, I'm not sitting here all fucking night. You know. But you know, sometimes. Yeah. And
wait, you heard that Hennessy doesn't mind going last?
Like he saying? Doesn't. He doesn't like push his weight around in a sense. Like he doesn't say like, you know, hey, can you fill me in something like another?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't.
He just whatever he's on the list, he just takes the spot.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to do in general. I don't think.
What, like get ahead of the list?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's. I think there should be a list, but if I'm running an open mic myself, mm-hmm. and I have a list there of a lot of open mic comics, and all of a sudden some veteran comics come in, I'm not going to make them wait till the end of the night. I'm going to use them strategically for the show. I'm going to say
you curate.
Yeah, I exactly.
Get you. Okay.
Yeah, I don't. You know, not I expect to be, but you know, I'll, and what I'll do is not like I'll show up like a putz and go, hey, move me a little. You know. I'll contact the guy before the show or you know, the day of or next day or day before or whatever and be like, hey, man, you know, I'm going to get there because usually I'm doing this podcast. And then, you know, by 7:30 after I edit everything, I can't get there for the list.
Yeah.
So it's like Monday, like when they have an N2 Wine Bar, which is in Delray tonight again. If you're out there, go out there and watch open mic, local scene out there. You know, I can't get there in time for the list. So I'm like, you mind just putting me somewhere? I don't give a shit. It doesn't have to be, you know, whatever. Just don't put me at the fucking end.
Yeah, well, when I run mics, I definitely it is annoying to get those requests over and over. You know, where you're like, "Hey,
does
can
it
you
matter
move
who
me
it's
up?
Coming
can you
from?
Do me this?"
Yeah, that's a good question.
If someone, okay, if you know someone is good,
mm-hmm.
you, I mean, I think you always want to curate the show a little. You know, I mean, like I don't mind lighting someone who's bad a little early and letting someone who's doing well go a little longer. And if someone asks you for a favor. And you can do a favor. I don't mind doing that either. You know, someone's like, "Hey, right. man, I really have to go." You know, I'd love, but I can only do the mic if I can get up in the first like hour and a half. Or I don't mind doing that. So I think that's fine. But you do. It also is that moment where you're like, "Wow, I've been inundated with those requests tonight," and like, you know, and you got to well, yeah, kind of manage
and
everything.
And after a while, you say, "Fuck it," you know.
Yeah,
they go where you like. I went out to the open mic. Me and Perry Sack went to the open mic out in Brewer House out there. They're all the way in Lake.
Yeah,
North Palm Beach.
Oh, and,
Wayne
Felber's, right?
Yeah.
Felber's Beach Gardens.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, Wayne, I contacted Wayne. I go, you know, we're going to take like 45 minutes an hour to get there. So, you know, I can't make it there when the list drops, but can you just put us on the list?
What did he say?
He said, yeah, that's good. No, I'll let you have you get. And then we get on the list, but we were like fucking 20th on the list.
Yeah.
and it was like, you know, so we sit there, I'm eating, and Perry and I are in the back. And you know, for me, I have a list of new jokes. That
right.
I want to try. I'm trying to work. I'm trying to find some feel that I'm trying to put together. And I said, look, I want to. And so I get there. The place is packed.
Right.
Me and Perry, this is great. It's a great room. We get there. And then there's like five guitar players in a row. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And thank God my friend John Greenberg, who's a great guitar player, came up and played. I'm like, thank God somebody knows how to fucking strum. Like, I get it. You know, it's one thing if you hear a bad comic, you know, it's an open mic. But when somebody goes up there and plays a song like the same chord. Like they play two songs with the same fucking chord, and it's depressing as fuck. You know, it's like
right.
You know, it's like
not, you could have worked on this in your attic,
yeah,
a lot
you
harder.
And,
before
okay,
you brought
and
it out
and
to
like
the
you mentioned, is they curate the show. You want to, you know, so listen, if I'm not going to tell anybody how to fucking run their show, but if you got five guitar players in a row and they're all doing 15 minutes each, that could kind of that could like you know, and I'm like, all right, so now it's going on, and we got there on 8:15, 8:30. It's 10:30 at night. The crowd went from 100 people down to like 20. And I'm like, ugh, this doesn't even make sense. Like, I want to work out new material. I can't work it. This isn't even going to be worth it. So I sat here for 2.5 hours after driving here for an hour. And I'm like, ugh. So Perry's like, and then Dom Nessie, has Swampgrass Willie's at night.
Good guy.
And he's he's contacting Perry. He's like, why don't you come here? We got a packed house.
Right.
You know, we got, you know, and Perry's like, let's go over there. I'm like, I don't want to just leave. And then we're sitting there, and then I go up to fucking Wayne. I go, where are we at in the list? He goes, oh, yeah, you got two more than you. I'm like, all right. And then he goes, oh, no, wait, there's three more than you. And I go, yeah, dude, we're out of here, man. I'm out of here. Like,
to be honest, I mean, I like Wayne, and that's a really good mic, but I've had some kind of similar interactions with him where I'm like, because for me, that is an hour and 15 minute drive from my place. And I'm like, if it's that, if you're someone's coming from that far away to Dear Mike,
right,
and they want to contact you and say, hey, I'm on my way, could you throw me on the list? You know, I think that's a little different than just someone like who lives in town and they're like, hey, just let me like go up early because you know me. That's a way to me. Those are two totally different requests.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Wayne, come on. Can you give a little on the comics that are traveling an hour and a half to get to your show?
Yeah,
but
he sticks to the
he really sticks to that list, man.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. As long as the there's a policy and
everybody has their own, you know, their own method, and that's fine. Really, like I said, I'm not gonna tell anybody else how to run their fucking show, but like that's what I think. Like if I'm gonna have an open mic, and I just don't run them. But if I'm gonna have them and veterans, ever since I was that way, I would, you know, when I was a newcomer and I was sitting there and fucking veterans would come and you're like, yeah, whatever. You get bumped. It's like New York. You get bumped.
Oh, yeah, that happens for sure in New York.
You get bumped. There's a showcase, a show, and all of a sudden, hey, you get bumped. And you're like, eh, you got to sit. You can't go, fuck that. Artie Lang, fuck him. You can't do that. You can't say fuck that, you know. That's the way it is.
Except here you're getting bumped for someone that's not famous.
Yet.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Just get bumped for a denizen of the comic bar.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of mics, I'm actually running a mic tonight.
Are
which
you?
I haven't done in like Who's a room? Year. So Eric Rosenblum and I have this new room which is used to be Auni Issa. It's the 26 Degree Brewery.
Hmm.
Have you guys been to that at all?
No.
Where's that?
It's in Pompano Beach.
All right.
So at 9 o'clock, I'm actually running a mic tonight. It's only once every third Thursday, and Eric and I are alternating it. So it's basically like I host it every 2 months.
Right.
So it's like it's kind of weird.
It's kind of harder for you can forget it.
Every third Monday or
it's
third
every
Thursday.
Third Monday.
It comes around like an eclipse. Every once in a while, is a fucking new solar eclipse.
Jeez.
So like this third Monday, I'll be hosting, and then next third Thursday, Eric will be hosting. So it'll be like December before I'm in that room again. But tonight I'm actually hosting a mic and it's my first time in months. So
wow.
I'm hoping people are going to come. Hopefully no one will be a dick about the list.
Yeah. You know? Well, I might show up. Do you mind if you put me somewhere? No. Like I was thinking about it tonight, but like I was telling, like I went Saturday, like off the hook, by the way, kudos to Captain Brian out in Naples, who's handing out ice and water. He brings truckloads of ice and water to his restaurant out there. And then he hands people come and get it for free. They say, look, come by. We'll give you free ice and gallons of water for those of you who don't have power, which is a great PR move.
Wow.
It's great PR. And so he reached out to me. He says, hey, you want to come by on Friday?
There is fish guts on the ice, though, right?
Yeah, there's chum. It's like the water.
It's all from the water. It's all from the fishery.
Yeah.
The water's mixed with chum. And so I guess it was Friday. I did a show Friday. I did something Friday. I can't remember. Oh, I did the... Javier Carrion.
Yeah, we both were in that
yeah,
show.
His like benefit show.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
That was an interesting experience.
It
Dougie.
Was. We got a little nervous there because I guess it was the show was supposed to be at 7:30.
Yeah, he posted 7:30, and then it started about 9:05.
Yeah. Like seven.
Wasn't that show like sold out or something?
Oh no, it was not sold out. No, I posted sold out. I was kidding. I was kidding.
Oh Jesus, yeah. that's your idea of a joke actually, is to say sold out on a show.
Actually, Mary Smith was like, just post sold out. It'll be funny. I was like, all right, I don't care.
Jesus.
I mean, there was no one else coming. You know, it was.
Would you guys do open stage? Right.
Yeah, it was open stage club.
Nice. I love
and,
that spot.
I think pretty much everyone there was Latino.
Yeah, all the guests.
Yeah.
Okay, community outreach program.
And it turned out not to be too bad of a crowd. It was probably like 40 people, right?
I don't. All I know is they started with two white guys and then put me on, and the first two guys bombed, and I was like, "This is going to be rough."
So three white guys.
That's what I'm saying. Two white guys before me. I was like, "Let's mix it up a little, guys. Let's see if we can get this crowd going." But I don't know. I actually had a decent set.
Yeah, you did good.
It was okay.
They listened because you were like third, right?
I was third.
They actually were because everybody else was just like, and you know, you got it's great because Javier gets people together and there's some people that haven't done comedy in a while.
I looked at that list and I was like, this is like the quick comedy tour. Like, yeah. It was like literally half the names on that list hadn't done comedy in over a year.
Yeah. We recently
brings them out.
Yeah, we recently walked away comedy tour.
Out of retirement, you know?
Yeah, and you know.
Jersey off the wall.
And, of course he had asked me, he's like, you want to close the show? I'm like, well, I kind of said not really at first because.
That's hilarious.
You know, in a room like that, mm-hmm. you know, that's the last thing you want to do is go up last because there's no crowd left. But they stuck around.
At least a third of them were still there by the time you went
of
on
40. A third of 40.
Exactly. Yeah, but you did good. And actually, Mary did good because she was telling me she was worried. She was saying that she quit because she didn't do very well the last couple times on stage.
What?
Yeah, she said she
does
stopped
she care
doing
about,
it.
What is she just seems like she doesn't care about that kind of stuff.
I know, but I guess it got to her. But then she said that was it. And but she did good. I think she had a good set.
Mary did, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like I said, towards the end, I was just looking at a few people. But it was all right. It was a lot of fun.
John Gregory crushed that room.
Yeah, he did good.
He really did. I think he was like right before you. He was like a good lead-in for you.
Yeah, because there were, you know. Yeah, he did go right before me.
And he really got the crowd hyped. It was good.
Yeah, because I was glad they were actually paying attention to the end. I kept telling Javi, I said, Javi, do me a favor. Because you know, if you're hosting a show with that many people on it, you got to let people know, like, hey, you know, you got a few other, you know, whatever at the end. We got a headliner, whatever, just so people stick around. It's like, you know.
He started that show, by the way, by bringing up his 4-year-old daughter, who apparently had the idea for the show, and brought her up on stage in her little pink dress, and she's very cute and talking about, Daddy, I wanted to do the comedy show.
Help the animals.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be a nightmare. Like,
you and never then immediately
wanna,
dick joke.
Yeah, you never want to start a comedy show with a kid. Bring her up at the end after everyone's already said all the dick jokes or something. But
he dropped the F-bomb like 3 or 4. My fucking daughter went to the
Give it up for my fucking daughter.
She had this fucking idea to have a fucking benefit. Honey, tell him what the fuck you told me. It was funny. It was funny because did I tell you to tell that joke? I said you should go up there and say, let's hear it for Javi. By the way, you may want to homeschool her anymore. Because we felt bad because she was reading from a piece of paper.
Oh,
and
And
she has, I think, to me it was funny because I thought like Javi teaches her English. You know, because like teaches her, like it's just because she was yeah, again,
she's
a growing
up
kid.
In Miami.
Yeah,
you know?
But like kids reading out loud can go one of two ways, good or hilarious.
Yeah, that's like, true. That's true.
Very true. But that was fun. So that was why I didn't go there Friday night. Then I went to Saturday to off the hook. The place was packed. It was great, and it was a great show. I got to do 15 minutes or so, like 20 minutes and eight.
Oh, that's nice.
You know. But it was like, yeah, we were talking.
It was packed, huh?
Yeah, Saturday was packed. Wow. And then the thing I was thinking, like, okay, it's I didn't think we get paid or anything, and I get a free meal and drink and stuff. But I got it's like an hour and 25-minute drive from here. And first of all, I'm like, who wants to go? I'm like, well, listen, that's kind of my home club. You know, Off the Hook is my home club now because it's the only club in my area. So I'll do anything they want. I'm a regular there, so I'll go do it. And not to mention they got great food. So I figured, okay, I'm not going to go there and have fucking potato skins.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go there and have, you know, like a steak or, you know, fucking fish and some wine, of course. And it was great. It was packed and everything. So then Sunday comes and, you know, they said, come back on Sunday. You want to come back on Sunday? I'm like, yeah, you know, sure. And then I'm thinking, fuck, I got to drive back. And now my wife is like, you're going to go, what are you nuts?
So you agreed to go back the next night?
Yeah.
Did you?
I went back.
Oh my God, how was that?
Now, here's the question. You guys are comics. Like, you understand that. You're like, fuck, I'm going to give a shit. Like, some comics, I wouldn't drive that far. I'm like, because people ask me about paying dues. I mean, I remember, you know, when I was starting out, I would drive an hour and a half, 2.5 hours for a guest spot to audition. You know, I would.
Right.
You know, I would drive 4 hours just to get a chance to get for the owner to see me. I didn't give a shit. Right, you got to be hungry. You can't be selective.
Yeah.
So you know, and again, I'm ready.
I'm still in that phase mostly. Doug,
yeah.
So I mean,
you know, it's like when we did Coconuts.
Yeah.
You guys drove up. Here
I literally
at Ciro.
Drove to Coconuts just to do like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
To feature for me and Sierra both to feature for you, and that was fun.
Yeah. And
it was a great show.
Yeah. The owner liked you. Didn't care for Ciro, unfortunately. Well, Ciro didn't connect, and it was. But you know, listen.
I wasn't going to say that, but okay.
No, I told Ciro. I told Ciro, you know. But yeah, you know, listen, Ciro knows. He's that's his style of brand.
Ciro's
of comedy.
An acquired taste.
Yeah,
he's boutique.
It's a specific thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to do. You know, but so it worked out well. You know, the guy. Yeah. You know, so you're going to do that kind of shit. Now, you know, on Saturday though, I was there and everything. We all got to see his parents, and they did. You know, it was just great. And they showed up and did, and I got date. I'm gonna oh for Tom Green. When he comes in January now, so I lock that in a sense, as long as he doesn't bring his own feature.
Did Tom start out as a stand-up?
Good question.
Because it doesn't seem like that type of humor. He seems like more like an improv guy or something, but I have no idea.
Yeah,
he was always doing weird. I remember when he was doing weird shit on MTV.
Right,
like before he even got acting, he was just being a weirdo.
Yeah, he had that.
And I don't even know how they found him.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
He's kind of like he's kind of like that guy from what's the guy for the Eric Andre?
Yeah,
from Boca. He's actually originally from Boca.
Right,
he's kind of off the wall kind of shit.
Absurdist. Yeah,
yeah. He still does that show with
the Eric Andre show? Yeah, it just got renewed for another season, so that's coming back.
And who's the guy on there with him?
Hannibal Buress. Hannibal Buress is so fucking famous now.
Yeah, Hannibal Buress is more famous than Eric Andre.
Yeah, I don't know if he can play second fiddle, because I've seen that show. He used to just hang out in the background and do weird shit on the side,
Did you see the one where they had Flava Flav on there, and he was doing shit, and it looked like Hannibal Buress was going to punch him or something, and they stopped the clip? And I never got to watch the rest of it. I don't know if he actually did punch him.
I didn't see that one, but I know there was one where it looked like T.I. was going to fight Eric Andre, because I think Eric Andre just started taking off his clothes.
Right.
Like, as the interview continued, he just started removing articles of clothing until he was fully naked. And T.I. was just like, this can't continue. this interview can't continue and you be naked at the same time.
He likes to get naked, that guy. You know?
Oh, yeah. He's put his, whole flaccid dick. Really? Right on Instagram several times.
I did not know that.
Speaking of that, did you guys see the photo of Erica Myers when he posted that photo of his?
I did see that, and I'm sort of confused. I don't know what is going
on. That was
on
purpose, or just that was just like, well, it's Tuesday.
A lot of people are like, well, Eric's back on drugs. Apparently, that's what that was the rumor
that
immediately went around. It was like, well, this means Eric is, back on whatever.
Could have just been like an accidental send.
he had the camera pointing at the mirror, taking the mirror selfie.
It was a clear.
No, I saw the picture. Yeah. But I'm saying, whatever inspired that picture. Because what does it take for you to take a picture of your own naked body?
Well, first of all, he's got a decent sized penis, at least, right? You're not going to take it. You're not going to take a, you're not going to take a photo. You're not going to take a photo.
It had a curve
in
it.
It looked like a fishing hook. It had like a. You know what I mean?
I got to say, I can't remember the shape or the size.
Oh, even you of all people can't remember dicks now?
I must have blocked it out.
Mr. Drag Queen.
I know.
I guess I'm hoping I'm going to get to work with Eric again sometime.
Yeah.
Let me not bring up.
I don't want to have to think about what his dick looks like when I'm looking him in the eye.
Probably help you do better.
Yeah, you don't want to be sitting there trying to think funny.
This next your headliner, guys, he's got great wang. Right. Put your hands together.
Well, but if his penis kind of have a look like he did, like thin, and I'm like thinking, well, that's kind of like my dick. It's not very big, long, but it's pretty wide. And I'm thinking, is everybody's dick look does everybody's dick look like them? It's like our penis is just a mini me's.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. My dick looks like a heroin addict. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Bunch
got
of
a
holes
beard.
In it.
Yeah. It's got a beard and shit.
It's like a sprinkler,
hair. It's fucking every once in a while his dick reaches back and pulls his hair.
Exactly.
Fixes his hair and
it
shit.
It wears a dress.
Yeah.
He kind of dozes off.
Yeah. It nods off.
It nods.
Exactly.
So, all right. So we're talking about Florida comedy here and the Florida comedy scene. And, you've been at this how long?
Now, because of last week, according to last week, 2 years.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good, though. Would you get started here, though?
Yeah. My very first room was his.
Yeah, he came to Awanakava.
Awanakava.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, that was the classic open mic here for a little while.
It was like the one comedy I had no idea about stand-up comedy in the sense of how rooms actually felt from outside of having gone to the improv and big stuff. I didn't know how open mics felt, and then someone when I got there, it was a whole different experience than what I assumed comedy would be, having gone to these A clubs and stuff and then going to a kava bar and then seeing it that way. And I was like, oh, this is different. This
it's
is
really
like
different.
The seedy underbelly fight club sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, you're sitting there with a bunch of people that are this close to you.
Yeah.
Which was kind of the best thing about that room, is that you're right in front of them. There's no getting away from it. And that's what comedy should be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I like that type. Like, the one thing about Tavolino's is it's like the crowd's right there.
They are, yeah.
It's pretty
intimate.
That's
actually pretty cool about that room.
Yeah, you're right there in front of you, and you got a little stage and everything. and it's nice. I've never been. I never went to Cava. I never did the open mic there. Never was invited. Like your 33 wine bar.
It was an open mic, Dougie. It's open.
Just come and do it. No, I know. I actually was one time I was going to go, but again, that's the problem. Like, that's the thing about open. Like, I go into these periods of open mics. Like, I stopped going to open mics for a while there because it was just added like things with some of the local scene. I was like,
yeah.
And I had a little bad experience where I was going there at open mics, and then there was other comics mirroring your jokes. Like, you do a yoga joke, and then you see this other person start doing a yoga joke and use the same punch, like the lines, and I'm like, ah. And then Tim Hanlon got me to go back. This was back in the Catskill comedy days, like Fort Lauderdale Comedy Club.
Yeah, that was before my time, but I heard, always would hear about it.
The Fort was a great room. And I started going back, and I said, you know what? And I always think, I got to write all this new material to go to an open mic with. And then Tim Hanlon was like, no, why do you do that? Why don't you just write the premise? You know, at least if you have the premise, then work the premise out on stage, which I started doing, which that's all I do now.
I only figured out how to do that in the last year, I would say. Where,
just come
like,
up with premises.
Where
and then
take the premise to the mics, and then you have your set that you don't need to do. You don't really need to work at mics, unless you have a new tag. You know, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like and that's what you want to do, and that's what I started doing. And then I actually brought out, it was one of my jokes that I shelved. You know, that actually is almost like my closer now. When I do the late shows, it's a closer of my late shows. It's a joke I just shelved it because I never did it again. And I started bringing it back to open mic. But that's what's interesting. Like, the last week was a couple weeks ago at the Wine 2 Bar and 2 Bar. And it was like nobody, I mean, it was like nobody there. It was kind of, and here's the thing. Let me ask you this. You were there. You were there as well.
There was
2 weeks ago or so that, right? And there was nobody there. And there was like there was guys out hanging outside.
Yeah, there's people outside.
And I was like, why the fuck, you know what I mean? Why the fuck don't people come inside? Like, I don't know.
Wait,
like,
why don't comics come in and watch you work your jokes?
Not me, everybody. In other words.
Watch each other?
Yeah.
Why don't they watch each other?
Well, you know, listen, if there's no crowd.
I think you know the answer to that question, Doug.
If there's no crowd. Well, listen.
Because comics are assholes who don't want each other to succeed. They want each other to fail.
What I would say is, like, from the differences I've seen just traveling, doing the travel that I have seen, how other people are about comedy, some people will just sit and watch comedy. Like, some cities you'll see people watch every performer at the open mic, and it's just because they have this weird, like, obsession with trying to make sure no one's better than them. So they will watch every single person perform every open, and they'll just stare through you. Just making sure your jokes aren't better than theirs.
Right.
And that's the only reason you have a crowd. It's because everyone's just there to make sure you're not.
But I felt like if you go to an open mic and there's no crowd, people should at least be hanging out. Because, you know, because to me, like, I watch them because, one, I watch for talent. Like, I want to see if I go there, I always say if there's somebody funny, I want to pull them and say, hey, do a spot. You know, do a spot at Tavolino. So that's why I watch people.
My take is I'm going to go in and out because I can't stand to watch an entire open mic comedy show.
Right.
But I want to drift in and out and catch a few people here and there. And I want to see some talent, you know, and
still a fan of comedy.
I just still like comedy. I do. Yeah. I do. But I can't watch every single person set. I'm done with that.
Because sometimes the thing is, sometimes open mics can go like 3.5-4 hours.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And well,
if you ask me to watch 3.5 hours,
especially when I'm like, I know what jokes you're going to say, man. You know what I mean? Like, some of the people, you're like, I know what they're going to do. And
a few hours of friends.
Now we're going to take a break, but this is one thing that I would get to me. Like, and I would see, you know, you've been to Florida, you go to an open mic in Florida here, and you got your regular comics there. And, like, for the most part, you try to work new stuff.
Right.
Like, the last few weeks, I've been working my same stuff with the Parkinson's, Alzheimer's joke. I'm trying, whatever. There's certain new, I'm trying to work. I'm trying to stretch. But sometimes I see people, it's like the fifth year. I've seen them, and they're still doing the same shit.
That bothers me.
Right, I mean...
I when I go to an open mic, I actually am thinking about the comics like, well, they've all seen my set. Let's not do my set.
Right.
I actually do want... I want comics to think, oh, this guy's not going to do his regular set, so I wonder what Ethan has to say tonight. Mm-hmm. I always think about it like that. You know, like, can I entertain the comics? And I think you should. It's a good way to improve because it's a different type of audience.
Well, to me, you always want to be working. Like I said, I'm trying to work new shit. But if it turns into a show, if sometimes you go to an open mic, you're like the Buddha or something like that.
Yeah, and it turns into
like
a real...
There's 80 people. They're oh, fuck, I'm not going to go there and work. I'm going to open up with a couple good ones, throw the new stuff in the middle, and then whatever. You know, try to close in a joke and make it work. But
I will say that by and large, comics are like apathetic idiots, or not idiots, just assholes, kind of.
I have
my favorite version is in New York, where you go to a mic there, and oftentimes you'll show up at the mic, and then literally every person will go on and then leave. So it's like if you're first on the list, there's 25 people watching you. If you're last on the list, it's you and the host.
Exactly. It's true.
Like, that's kind of fun.
And in New York, you pay like instead of being a bringer all the time, you got to pay $5.
Five. Oh my God, the pay to play rooms.
Yeah, $5. Hey, that's how those comics make their money.
I know those rooms can all eat a dick. I made sure not to like get involved and pay for any. Like I called favors. I did whatever I could do just so I didn't pay.
I paid a few.
You paid a couple of them?
Yeah, because I'm like, those comics are working. This is how they make their cash.
No, no, I understand that, but it's just open mic for three people.
And I'm only in town for, you know, 4 days. Right. I'm going to try to get as many mics as I can. I know I'm going to have to pay for, like, a few of them.
If it was up to me, instead of bringing five of my friends, especially when I was just doing open mics, having to see me work on my same shit, I would rather pay $5 and bring five of my friends if I had to. You know, I've had a choice. It wasn't too bad. But this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. You don't have to bring $5 for this.
No, it's free.
Although we do have a Patreon page. If you go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com, we do have a way to donate up to a minimum of $1 a month.
Nice.
If all our subscribers did that, we'd have a nice little chunk of change in here. So you can go to that and just donate up to $1 a month to us. We appreciate it. That money will go to co-host gas money.
Sweet.
By the way, first, and anything left over, we'll go to new equipment. So, hey, well, guess what? We'll be right back on the show, and we got some crazy stories that is interesting. Everything from Kevin Hart was fucking around on his wife, who's
excellent,
pregnant. And the Christians say we're going to have the rapture on September 23rd.
Those Christians, they're always up to something.
That's right. We'll be back with that right after this.
Cool.
This is Ciro Dobrik on the Waking Up Late with Dougie show. Let's get wild and crazy and talk about comedy.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about stories from around the world and make fun of them. That's what you got to do. Laugh in the face of whatever. I'm still stormy. I'm still a little cloudy-minded right now.
Oh, you're saying like whistle through the graveyard kind of thing?
Yeah.
Spit at destiny?
That's right. You like Kevin Hart?
I like him. I like the guy.
I think he's getting a bit overplayed. You know, I think he's gotten like there's too much of him.
He's the biggest act in the world, so that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel bad when somebody gets to that point. Like, you know, like sometimes you're out there too much. You know what I mean? Overexposed.
I've never seen him. I've been meaning to like watch one of his specials just to see what it's all about. I've just never even seen
him. His first like three are pretty good.
Okay.
I'd say his first three are pretty good.
I'll pull out one of those.
The other ones are okay, but the first three, yeah.
Kevin Hart publicly apologizes to wife and children after a woman threatens to release sexually suggestive video. Seems that he may have been involved in a little romp there that somebody videoed, and now he was being extorted.
Yeah. Mm. Hilarious. I've been on this thing for the whole week, and I was telling people, like, okay, you get to a point when you're a millionaire, and fidelity once you're a millionaire is a courtesy in my mind, in the sense of like really anything can happen for you that you really want. Even if you divorced, you could still walk away with most of your money because you have access to the better lawyers than she does, even if you pay for her lawyers.
Well, half of a billion is still not bad.
Exactly. So, like, he's at this place now, like, he had to issue the public apology. And the only thing is, like, because he sold family so hard, this is why this is what it is.
Oh, is that part of his image?
Yeah, he's always talking about family, and he referred to his wife as his rib. Like in reference to like the Bible
Adam's
reference.
Rib, yeah.
Yeah, he's always refer to her that way. So he kind of set himself up to get. That's why I prefer if you
that's
like.
That's a bad idea.
It is. Like if you live like a piece of shit, if your comic head lives like a piece of shit, no one's ever shocked by anything you say.
He's like talking that family value stuff to try to psych himself into it. You know, he's like talking himself into it. He's like, she's my rib. I can't cheat on her. Then he's like, but I really want to, but I can't.
It's so.
And then he does, of course.
Like if Jim Norton goes on stage and tells everyone he has sex with transsexuals.
Right.
There's nothing you can hang over Jim Norton's head.
And hookers
and everything. Exactly. So if Jim Norton
and his brother like whacked off on each other and stuff.
Bro, if he ever gets caught sucking a dick in the back of a car. Yeah,
it's Jim Norton.
What page 8, 9 maybe of the news? Jim Norton got caught sucking a dick?
Yeah, exactly.
Law enforcement told TMZ that an anonymous person reached out to Hart's team and demanded eight figures in exchange for a video of Hart and a woman in a sexually provocative situation. Another clip shows a bedroom where it appears that people are engaging in sexual activity, but their faces are not shown.
Oh, she got greedy. That's what happened. She probably got greedy. She probably asked for way too high of a number. Eight figures?
Yeah, yeah.
For silence?
Right?
I mean, if somebody took, if I ever dropped the ball like that on my wife and they wanted eight figures, I'd be like, look, dude, send the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
how much could a divorce cost, right?
Exactly.
Not eight figures.
You go on Instagram and you say, my wife doesn't lick my asshole, and I like my asshole licked.
And she said
so
she
I cheated on her.
If it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
Hours after the story went public, Hart posted an emotional video on Instagram. I'm at a place in my life where I feel I have a target on my back, and because of that, I should make smart decisions, and I recently didn't. Well, it's hard to turn. Listen. I could say this, and you know, I love my wife and you know, and all kinds of stuff, but there's been a few times now in the last few months on the road that I had the opportunity.
It gets thrown at you, right? Once you know, start doing this for a while.
But yeah. I tell all my friends, like people like, yeah, I'm like, listen, there's something about that freedom and that great feeling, A, of not being guilty. Like if the phone rings, you know, I'm over by the fridge and it rings. My wife looks, you know, I don't have to worry.
Oh, yeah, the, you know, panicked.
I mean? Yeah. When you're fucking around and shit like that happens, right, you're like, you live on, you know what I mean? You're always at, you. Now, I don't give a shit. The phone could ring. I leave my computer on in front of her.
That's nice.
I don't
right?
give a shit. Yeah. That's a great feeling. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Now, if the woman, last woman to hit on me was a little better looking, I don't know. But no.
You're only as good as
you should. You should never exchange phone numbers with your. No. Someone you hit on the road. It's just totally anonymous.
Completely.
That's right. That's what you want.
I don't know you. You don't know me.
Basically a glory hole. That's what you want.
That's what you want.
Yeah. You stick your dick in there and pretend it's a lady.
Now, Hennessy, I liked what you said about, I think it was interesting, the idea that you suggested that like Kevin Hart or someone that rich,
mm-hmm.
like monogamy is basically just a courtesy.
It is, in the sense that obviously you did take a vow and all that stuff. You made a promise to yourself and to her. I wish people would be more pragmatic and more realistic about the way things operate. And like, the more money involved in something, the more we have to realize how much of a business transaction this is.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're like a regular person and, you know, you can still ride the wave of emotion and ride the wave of all this. But once you get into this 8-9 figures of income, of earnings, of right. assets, you start having to really go dollars and cents about it. Like, listen, this is who I, like, I was talking to Trey about this, Trey Maddox comedian. I was talking to him about this earlier where I said, like, Bill Cosby, for instance, take away the rapes, take away everything aside from that. At the end of the day, we still have a dude who at least cheated on his wife. And she still stuck around because right. at that, when you get to Bill Cosby numbers, it's now a business transaction.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That
for
marriage
the wife.
Is a business transaction. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. Are you saying, like, for example, all right, if you make that much money, like, the wives of rock stars, the wives of professional athletes,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like they shouldn't be surprised they find out that they got a girl somewhere. You know what I mean? It's almost like expected. Like, look, I live in this mansion. I drive a beautiful home. I never work. I never worry about anything. I should understand that he's probably going to, you know, fuck somebody
else.
Yeah,
there's a real decision to make, because when you're dating some software engineer and he cheats on you, I guess leave him, whatever.
Right.
Because women's favorite thing is to say, I can replace you. You don't know how many men want to be with me.
Oh,
you don't know. I'm Kevin Hart. You're not going to replace me.
Right.
Who are you going to get?
Yeah,
what other Chris number Tucker? One comedian?
I'm
going to
leave you for Chris Tucker.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not going to replace. So now you have a real decision to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about that. Well, like, imagine, like, as a guy, let's say you're, like, dating, you're going out with, I don't know, who's a famous chick, like,
Well, like, what about, like, Oprah, right? Like, her husband.
Stedman. You know what the good
right?
thing
like
about Stedman?
Is she banging the pool boy and all of them? And then he's like, well, I mean, what am I going to do?
They kept saying that she was really a lesbian, that her and her girl there was.
Or people say that about Hillary Clinton, too.
Well, she's
right?
definitely gay.
That she's gay? I mean,
what guy would fuck that? I mean,
she looked okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I was into
40
it.
40 years ago.
Yeah, in the 90s.
I saw a picture of her 40 years
dude,
ago, and I was like,
no.
I can see how Bill could end up here.
You're crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I do, too.
40 years ago?
I
from Arkansas?
I saw some of the photos that she had. like when she was younger. She was even uglier. She was like, I mean, she was disgusting.
And again, kid from Arkansas.
I was into it.
Bill is a kid from the South who like the one kid in his whole state who went to an Ivy League.
Right. Right.
So, you know, he's already hard up for friends.
Yeah. Right.
So he runs into this like hippie flower chick.
And he's way trading up.
Exactly.
In that situation, too.
Exactly. Because
she comes from money, I think, or at least
he was
like higher class.
I'm
higher
pretty sure Bill
class.
Was like dirt poor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, he was.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he was on the other side of the track.
Yeah.
Well, here's a situation that I thought was interesting. Family of Chicago teen found dead in a hotel freezer demands an FBI investigation. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a young black woman. She was like 19.
Mm-hmm.
She was at the Rosemont in Chicago in a hotel there. And the family is marched onto the FBI headquarters because they want the FBI to investigate, which to me is a bit ridiculous. Most of the time, those things, like, because they think there was foul play. But now video has surfaced of her. She's wasted.
Mm-hmm.
She's walking through the hotel and she walks into the kitchen area of the hotel and they end up finding her in the fucking freezer. And, you know, you don't need to be an FBI agent. She was high. She was fucked up. She was probably sweating. Like, it's hot. You know, sometimes okay. You do drugs. You get a little, especially cocaine or something like that. Uh-huh. You get a little sweaty. You get a little. And then, you know, she walked into the freezer. Maybe found some, like, you know, some fucking chocolate flakes and stuff. Every time you walk into a walk-in freezer, there's food that's usually in there. You're like, wow, I can't believe there's this shit. And then she was found dead, frozen to death.
The door slammed behind her.
Yeah.
And they say the cause of death was her freezing?
Well, they're still going to do a toxicology report, but
okay.
They said, you know, the video clearly shows there wasn't foul play. There's nobody with her. It wasn't
right.
Like somebody was taking her and, you know, mm-hmm. So the family wants an investigation. The FBI is like, what the fuck you want us to, you know, like, marches are going to make a difference here. You know what I mean? The girl, we have video, there's nothing to investigate. She was wasted. She walked and she got herself in the freezer and she froze to death.
For me, it's one of those situations where whatever the autopsy doctor says is a cause of death. If the autopsy doctor says, oh, she was basically dead before she was in the freezer, then
well,
you got to investigate.
Right.
Yeah.
She didn't have any frost in her lungs. That means she died before. It's like when somebody mm-hmm. burns in the fire, they need to look for the burnt lungs. Jenkins was 19, went missing September 8th. Her body was found 2 days later in a walk-in freezer at the Crown Plaza Chicago Hair
Two days is a long time, though.
Yeah. Rosemont police say they are investigating a death, not a homicide. About 100 people led by Jenkins' mother, Teresa Martin, gathered Saturday in Douglas Park for a memorial ceremony. After that, 30 attendees marched on to the FBI's field headquarters office, seeking to get the Bureau to investigate. Martin said she believes local police are covering up the motive behind the daughter's death.
Really?
Well, yeah,
that's reaching.
You never want to believe
that your kid, you know, would
yeah.
just
was a fuck
accidentally,
up.
Just through some accident.
There might
fate.
Be a negligence charge that can be
yeah, yeah.
lobbied against the hotel, because how do you have 2 days, no one's been in the freezer?
Right.
You make food. That's where your food comes from. And no one's been in there for 2 days. That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
No one ordered ice cream. What are we going to
yeah,
do?
Yeah, that's insane. So there's a negligence kind of thing.
You can't have a whole kitchen behind it. Like, don't nobody open the freezer. That's a kind of hard thing to believe, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just distrusting in the police, and that's obvious.
Well, the headline, as soon as I hear woman found in freezer, I'm just like, well, someone killed her. You
yeah.
know, like, so the headline is very, like, that's so such a suspicious headline.
Right.
But I guess if there's video of it, then you're like, all right, well, maybe it's just.
Yeah.
But negligence would make sense. Like, where? How is the hotel just letting people walk into their freezer and
Well, it sounds like
die. Maybe a
law. Health code violation.
Any lawyer will find some of that, because if it's the Marriott, you can sue them. But there's also the combined fault. You know, like, you could find, you'll get some money out of you if it's 80% her fault. She's wasted,
yeah.
She's underage, she's drinking, you know, who's the person responsible for her drinking, blah, blah. And then, of course, if that thing shouldn't have been locked, so wrongful death, then, you know, the girl's young, they're not going to get $10 million for wrongful death. They'll probably get $100,000, you know, mm-hmm. something like that, whatever the insurance is covered from the hotel. That's law. That's your law 101 class for the day, by the way, everybody. Yeah. I don't think they're going to come up with anything on this particular case, but kudos for trying. Christian researchers claim that the rapture will start on Saturday. So
nice.
Now that you got your power back,
get ready to lose it.
Get ready to lose everything. Now you got to be a good Christian if you expect to be pulled into.
Get ready for the power of the Lord.
That's
know?
Right.
It's going to be striking you.
So it's like you said Christian scientist?
A Christian researcher.
Researcher? Yeah. I mean,
it's not really. Like that guy's real credible.
That is, yeah, that exactly. Is funny.
Like, what is your base on? Like, where are you basing that name off of?
It's a researcher. Now, we had the original rapture, right, which was back 2 or 3 years ago, and they thought it was supposed to happen.
What?
And
we had a rapture?
Well, they supposedly was based on the biblical time frame. But
Jesus thought he was going to be a part of the rapture.
Well, he comes back after the rapture.
That's true. Jesus thought that the world was going to end any second.
There's a Doomsday Report says certain Christians will get sucked into heaven while the earth descends into chaotic tribulation, which seems already happened. Hmm. Several videos about supposed coming cataclysm are going viral with similar claims, including the trippy clip. You actually got to watch it. Some lady dressed up like it. She's in fucking Game of Thrones. But don't stock up. Jim Baker's Doomsday Food Puckets. By the way, they are selling that. You ever get that Doomsday Food stuff on TV?
I've seen
it on channels?
I've seen it, yeah. I saw a YouTube mashup of a
I was
going
to get it. I was going to get it just to check it out because, you know, when Hurricane Wilma came, when Hurricane Irma came through, my wife and I, we had like pallets of water already.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have to go doing all that shit. Mm. We had all our canned goods already. So, you know, we were set while everybody's running around with the fucking chicken like their heads cut off. We were fine. We were like, yeah, we're dope. We got a gas in the car. We're all set. But the packaged foods are great.
Yeah, Jim Baker, he makes this like apocalypse food. It comes in a bucket, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you can set it, you can make it into a coffee table.
Is it like wet food or is it dry?
It's all different kind of stuff. It's all like.
You can boil water, you can add water.
It's packed so that it can last like for, you know, a decade or whatever, something like that. And you can make like burritos and all. He's got all this stuff in it. And he's like, it's coming. The apocalypse is coming. The thing is, Jim Baker, I don't know if people even still remember who he is, but he was the guy with the sex scandal with.
Yeah, he cheated on that. He's
Jessica
a woman
Hahn
with
the, and the whole. I mean,
wasn't his wife the lady wore that makeup?
Tammy Faye Baker.
Tammy Faye, yeah.
Like Phil Hartman portrayed him on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like a huge religious celebrity in the 80s that got caught in this scandal.
I remember.
And then got caught stealing money from his church
he was
and all this stuff.
He was part of that, like, people that started the prosperity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all
preaching.
Those guys. The healer, send us your money, God will heal you, all that stuff.
But it says here the entire basis for the prediction is bunk. The September rapture date came from a Christian researcher named David Mead, who calculated it would occur 33 days after last month's eclipse. Jesus lived for 33 years. The name Elohim, which is of the name God to the Jews, was mentioned 33 times in the Bible. Mead told the newspaper it's very biblical significant numerologically. Isn't 33 pretty big with the Illuminati as well? Or is that 31?
I have no idea.
Because everything with the Masons is 31 or 33 or something like that.
I have to say this sounds like solid science so far. So.
Numerology?
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that.
Mead believes the global catastrophes will be caused by a secret planet called Nibiru passing the Earth on Saturday. The world won't end, but the world as we know it is ending. Now, you know, here's your intro. You ever hear the story about Nibiru, the ninth planet? There's a story about Nibiru, which is this massive planet that's the ninth planet.
Isn't it like hiding? You know, they say
it's in such an orbit that it only comes around every 3,000 years around the sun.
Oh, really? Okay.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Everybody says it's a bunch of bullshit. But now scientists and NASA scientists say there's a ninth planet. They're not calling it Nibiru, and they're saying, no, it's not that one. But based on the Kepler, the Kepler telescope and video, they're saying there's got to be something because something's pulling. They could see some distraction there. Now, you hear these stories about this, but again, you hear Nibiru, oh, ninth planet, oh, it's a bunch of bullshit. Now, all of a sudden, scientists are saying, well, there's something out there, and which is kind of interesting.
Well, I feel like we've got, like, telescopes, like, we can tell what's in, the planets that are around stars that are, like, light years away.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they'd be able to figure out, like, basically what's in our solar system, right?
Well, no, that's what they're saying. Now there's evidence that's proving that there could be a massive object
but not,
out there.
Not every 3,000 years,
it could literally
right?
be an asteroid. Like, it could be a failed star.
No.
Or a failed planet.
Well, they're saying that they thought that what the original theory was on this planet was that the sun pulled it from another galaxy. Like, in other words, it was on the outskirts of something else, and it came a little close and got into ours. But they said, no, this thing is the way it again, what am I, a fucking scientist?
Right,
I just know
right.
that. I just know that. They, but the what they have with the telescopes and the sound waves and all that shit, they're noticing that there's movement.
Huh. So guys, get that food.
Now, wait.
Don't worry about storm shutters. You don't have to worry about storm shutters.
It's coming, apparently.
Ninth planet. So that means Pluto is back on the list.
Pluto's never. It was yeah. No. That's still
is
on
Pluto
discussion.
Back. All right, is it not?
No, Nibiru. It's down with Pluto, up with Nibiru.
Okay. By the way, Pluto is a character in Disney. Donald Duck, planet.
So I grew up super right-wing Christian, by the way. So I grew up with people that thought that the rapture was about to happen.
Oh, for like ever. For
my whole life, yeah.
See, now I started, I went through, you know, catechism. I got my, I was confirmed. I went through communion and all that stuff. I read the Bible. I really got in tune with like Ezekiel and those, you know, the ones that talked about all the shit. You
John
know?
The Baptist.
The trumpets blaring, the fires in the sky. And
seven seals and seven bowls.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff, sure.
You know, and so listen. Oh, yeah, baby, a little music break.
It's the sound of the apocalypse.
That's what plays.
That's what happens. Well, you know it's over when you hear that.
That's the music where God judges you.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. The story comes as a video as opposed to a fucking thing here. Well, this is kind of a funny story. I won't have much to read upon it, but a Minnesota mom left paralyzed after a tree fell on her during a freak hammock accident. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a really good hammock.
They spooked the shit out of me.
Well, that's my point. Like I remember as a kid, mm-hmm. like I saw somebody get fucked up in a hammock. Like they went to get in it, and it spun, and it fell and shit, and the person
like a
got
cartoon.
Fucked. Yeah. It did. It was like a fucking Looney Tune. And I'm like, I'm never going to lay in a fucking hammock. Mm. And then it was a few years ago. I have some friends that have a beautiful house in Tennessee. Mm. And they have this, it's like a huge hammock that between the trees. And you lay in this thing and you're like, you're asleep. I mean, it, you know, it's just beautiful. But that was the thing. You don't want, who the fuck wants to get in a hammock, right? A Minnesota woman was left paralyzed after a falling tree broke her neck. Jeez. As she lounged in a hammock with her boyfriend.
Man. He tried to relax.
Did he get off all right?
Was yeah, he's he okay? Fine. He's actually fucking
that's
Kevin Hart's
about.
Wife now.
There you go.
<'Cause>
Her
she's
pregnant
leaving.
Self.
There yeah. you
go. Well, he had a terrible massage accident, and he's paralyzed too.
Have you ever had like a bad accident like that, like a freak accident?
I think it's terrible, but it's funny when you're like doing something like relaxing, and then something terrible happens. I don't know, it's like funny or something.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to sit down and relax. You want to chill out, and then all of a sudden you get your neck broken.
Right.
So, yeah. Like
how'd you break your neck?
It's like
me playing football. You doing MMA? No, I was laying in a hammock.
Meanwhile, people are like running across the streets while smoking crack, and they're fine. You know,
there's a kid running with
missing
scissors.
Buses.
There's a kid running with scissors down the hallway. Nothing happened to me.
Yeah.
Anything like that? Ever a freak accident like that?
Yeah. When I was younger, really young, I just flew off of the merry-go-round. Like children's playgrounds.
Really?
Yeah. Children's playgrounds are a lot better than they used to be. Yeah. And people give shit to kids for not being as tough. But go fuck yourself. Like if you go look at that death trap that was the playground in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Like that's not okay. It's just it's
a steel wheel.
Yeah, it's a steel wheel that kids would just run, and they would just get whoever was the fastest kid.
How fast
to
can you get it to go?
It,
yeah,
and everyone is just barely holding on.
Yeah, do you ever see the kids like they do that thing where they get like a moped or a scooter, and they put the tire up against that thing of the wheel.
Yeah,
the big wheel, and you sit on that, and you get that thing goes around.
Oh, I have never seen that.
Oh
wow.
Yeah, there's video of that shit. And you know, we used to do that. Like you say, the park, we used to do that. We'd all get there, and the old kid, you know, with the younger brothers, and somebody's older brother would go, like the athlete, would go around and run, let's see who could sit on it, and you get on there, and next thing you know, you see little Jimmy flying off and hit the fucking pine tree and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
That was fun.
So you went flying, Hennessy?
Yes. I went flying, and I was knocked unconscious. That was like that was my first time being concussed.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not okay.
Did you go home and your mom beat you for it, too?
Like no.
They get pissed at you when
I'm
you
from
hurt?
That generation, though, of the kids who got hurt and didn't tell anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until, like, you know, like the little things you heard along the way, you tried to, like, give some frontier medicine to yourself.
Right.
You're like, oh, I think I got a concussion. They told me I'm not supposed to sleep. So let me try to
stay
awake.
That's funny.
Because I heard you could die if you fall asleep. So I was doing that sort of shit, but I didn't tell her. But I definitely got hurt pretty bad.
Damn.
Your mom's like, why aren't you going out for football? You're like, I don't want to. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Next week.
I don't like getting hit in the head.
Yeah.
Not that I know, but I just...
I'm going to try cheerleading. What's up, George? What's up, buddy? Thanks for watching. I remember one time I was playing football in the street, and my brother threw me a pass, and I was, you know, you're looking over your shoulder, and I caught it, and I turned around and ran right into a van. And I still got a fat lip. I still got a little fat lip from it, and I had my teeth cracked from that and shit. And then, of course, you go home, like, don't bring me home. My mom's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
You know, because my mom would get mad.
Right.
My mom would get mad at you if you got hurt.
Right.
We didn't have health insurance.
Same
you know,
way.
What the
yeah,
fuck, you know? What are you going to do that for? We got no health insurance. Here's a kid. It's interesting. How you guys feel about this. A teacher is accused of assaulting a student for sitting during the Pledge of Allegiance.
Huh.
That's not okay.
The teacher assaulting the kid, like, well, picking him up. And what did he, the kid was 11 years old.
Okay.
Student in Eastern Michigan has been placed as a school in Eastern Michigan has placed a teacher on leave and launched an investigation after she allegedly snatched an 11-year-old student who sat during the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, that's
now I remember. Strange. I can remember back to the day when I was at school. Uh-huh. There was a couple times people said, "I'm not going to stand for it." Like let's be right. A little, you know, let's be honest. And the teacher was like, "You got to stand." And if we didn't, I remember one kid got a referral, got sent to the dean because it was just being like, "You're just trying to be disruptive." You're just trying to be disruptive. Now, what I find is interesting. The kid says he doesn't believe in country, but he pledges to God and family.
Huh.
Now, here's the problem with that. If you're a Christian or if you're religious and you believe in God and stuff, there's nowhere there that says you're not going to stand up for something in school. Like in other words, it's like think about that. Like if you're religious in God, you're going to be like you're no better than anybody else. So if everybody else is kind of in this situation doing a ritual type thing, you should be doing it too, right?
The only thing I would say is like as far as that kid goes. I don't like the teacher definitely can't just yoke up the kid. I don't know what year they think it is.
Yeah.
They can't yoke up the kid. They can't put their hands on it.
But if the 1950s
if the kid, as long as the kid wants to sit there and doesn't say anything to anyone, is if he's not talking during the pledge, if he's not doing anything, there's really nothing wrong inherently.
Is it public school?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, so especially, I mean, the kid's required to go to school. He's not required to stand up.
Yeah,
that's it. The teacher,
the right to protest doesn't have an age limit. That's the
teacher
thing about
consultant
it.
Comes up behind him and snatches him. From his perspective, the teacher's consultant comes up behind me and snatches me out of my chair violently. Stone, who is back, I was confused. I didn't know what was going on. Stone was he has not stood up for the salute. Or salute the American flag, instead choosing to honor God and his family while at school without incident for several years.
But I don't think there's any inherent conflict between those values, Doug. Yeah, I mean, maybe his religion teaches him not to be patriotic or nationalistic.
Tell me a religion that does that.
Christianity?
Buddhism? Yeah, Buddhism doesn't.
Yeah.
They don't even consider themselves a religion, one, but... Yeah. Like, it's not very... They're not really into the whole nationalism thing.
Jesus was pretty anti-government.
Yeah,
render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yeah, people like taxes and stuff. Yeah, Pledge of Allegiance though. I don't know. It's like the Kaepernick situation. You know, I didn't pull up the story today, but supposedly like NFL players now are doing stuff on the field. That is being questioned. I want to read into.
Are they
that.
Doing it during field during play, or are they doing it like?
I read the like the line says they're doing it on the field, not just on the side of the lines.
Okay,
and. You know, I like Jerry Jones with the Dallas Cowboys when he says, you stand or you're off the fucking team. And a friend of mine says, why is that? Well, it's America's team. You can't be on the Dallas Cowboys, you know what I mean, and do that. I mean, if that's you got to understand that's the way the owner is. Now,
Feel free to beat your wife off the field, though. That's fine.
Yeah. Greg Hardy on his team.
It's much less of a sin
to
do that.
I mean, I don't know. I'm a staunch defender of people's ability to protest whatever they want to.
Yeah. Sure.
So, like, to me, it's one of those things where if you don't interfere with the actual thing that you're paid for, which is team meetings, which is practices, and which is field of play stuff and community outreach, if none of those things are affected by your protest,
I would
protest
say.
Well, here's something to look at. You know, I played collegiate sports, and it could interfere because. It could affect some other team. Your teammates can be. It could be something that could drive a wedge a little bit, and that it's bringing attention. There could be teammates that go, "Look, this is bullshit attention to the team. We need to focus on the fucking game." You know, this and that. So I could see where it could come into conflict with players. I don't give a fuck if somebody wants. Like when these people are taking a knee, I can give a fuck less. But like anything, you have the right to protest, but freedom of speech also comes with consequences. You know, so you can't. If you're going to do that, then you can't get pissed if a part of the NFL is blacklisting you. Then. If that's the case, I mean, that's the way it goes. I mean, that's just part of the game. Like, as a comic, let's say we're talking like, you don't want to say to a comic, hey, you had a really bad set, right? Like, sometimes people ask, like, they get off stage, what do you think I did? And you're usually like, hey, you did great. You know, like, don't fucking worry about it, right? But sometimes you want to say, hey, man, if you care about the person, you know the person, like, yeah, that was rough, dude. You know what I mean? You're like, well, let's work on it. But sometimes you don't want to do that because well, that person's not going to like you.
Depends on where the person is in comedy, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, is it worth telling them they had a bad set?
If you're
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find a little comparison in the sense that sometimes if you want to be honest and you want to speak your mind because it's part of your character, sometimes it comes with consequences.
Sure.
Yeah. If you're that, and if I'm that kind of person, I feel that fucking strong about something that I understand those consequences. I'm ready to deal with those consequences. That's why I'm ready to make my stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to understand that. I'm not going to fucking bellyache. Hey, well, I'm doing this. How come you? That's just the way it is. You got to respect that in the sense that I respect freedom of speech, but I also have to respect the fact that the consequences of that can affect me in some way or the other, too.
The thing to me about the consequences of it is just that you enter that discussion of slippery slope stuff where people start going, well, if the owners can come together and blackball me for this, what's to stop them from blackballing a player for XYZ? Along the way, like other protests, if a player feels that, you know, other issues are not being paid attention to, if they feel like there's not a concerted effort made to welcoming another gay player into the NFL, what if they want to protest that? Do NFL player or owners have the right to then?
You mentioned slippery slope. So let's talk about slippery slope with the Confederate monuments being removed. Right. I can care less. I'm a Yankee. Right. I don't give a fuck about Robert E. Lee. But I understand where the hoople heads in the fucking South are going to be pissed because, hey, these are people, you know, like really, I don't give a shit about it. But at the same time, what the fuck? It's a statue. You know what I mean? I'm not going to ruin my day or a statue. Although if I smell angel perfume, it reminds me of an ex-girlfriend of mine that pisses me off and that could ruin my fucking day. So I can relate to it in a certain sense. Right. But now it was actually Black Lives Matter came out. I guess it was they covered up a statue of Jefferson. Because this was the slippery slope discussion. Like, well, what's next? You can get rid of George Washington because he was a slave owner. You're going to get rid of Thomas Jefferson memorials because he was a slave owner. That's a slippery slope on that.
To me, that's more of a discussion than, like, you can have a discussion about Thomas Jefferson. You can have a discussion about George Washington. I feel like there is no real discussion to have about Stonewall Jackson or Robert E. Lee. Like, what is the...
Well, I think also the fact that that's like government, right? Which is different. Like, the NFL and NFL teams are like companies.
Yeah.
And as a company, you pretty much have the right to hire whoever you want.
Right.
And the same if you're an employee at a company. I think you have the right to behave however you want until it interferes with your job.
Right.
So I figure, like, well, if this guy's an athlete, why does it matter if he's protesting as long as he's still doing his job?
Yeah.
On the other hand, if some of the teams are like, well, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are like, we don't like that guy. Then that's like their business decision.
And that's yet to be done. I think what happened with Colin, this is my opinion, Colin Kaepernick was he's a horrible quarterback. That's why he's not finding work. And then, you know, it's one thing, like you were saying, if you had a spouse that made a shitload of money and they were fucking around, you'd. But if you had a spouse that didn't make money and they weren't that good looking, they were fucking around, you'd kick them to the fucking curb. So.
But I think when it's the Confederate monuments or whatever, then it's not a private industry. It's not a business. It's a government. And the government's supposed to represent everyone.
That's
different.
When South Carolina announced, Nikki Haley announced that they're going to remove the Confederate flag from the buildings, it's not an official flag anymore. It shouldn't be flying on any government building. You know, but these monuments and stuff like that, you know, again, it's like, whatever. I don't give a one way or the other. You know, those are in they're in cities where these people came from. These are people that came from South Carolina, North Carolina. These are people that were there. You know, a guy like Robert E. Lee. Yeah, he fought for the South. He's this and all the shit. The traitor to the country, and they were trying to oppose because they didn't want to follow the government. They wanted to do their own thing. So there, in fact, there's somebody who was protesting the government back in the eyes of fucking centuries ago where we don't have the same knowledge we have now, right? But these are people that did that. Robert E. Lee was also a war hero in the Mexican-American War. You know, so this guy wasn't, you know, he was a hero at one point, you know, too. So to me, it's like now that's what they said. Well, if you start getting rid of that, like a lot of people say, get rid of Robert E. Lee statues, get rid of these people. They're Confederate. But now they're starting to say, well, what about Jefferson? What about this?
Do we still have any Confederate flag or Confederate statues here in Florida?
Yeah.
Does anyone know? Do we?
I believe there's one like in Fort Myers.
Because I'm like, South Carolina, whatever, they're going to do their thing. But I guess I feel like this. Here we are in Florida.
I know there's a Robert E. Lee Park in Miami.
Yeah.
Which is like weird.
Yeah, they changed some of the street. They changed some of the street signs in Hollywood recently too.
Yeah.
Well, hey, by the way, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It was fun because we went 2 minutes over anyway. Right. So we got into
heated discussion, guys. Yeah,
fuck them statues. Wow. That's my official position.
Have you seen a statue like that? Does it fuck you up? Does it get you upset?
Here's the thing. I remember I was literally on a road trip because I just did stand up in Atlanta. I was driving back down, and we see this Fort something. It's like it got turned into basically like a rest stop. It was like Fort Dunn something, Dunhill, some crazy name. And I was just there buying stuff, and I realized, I was like, a part of my realization was like, man, somebody died trying to protect slavery.
Yeah.
Here.
For sure.
Like, and now I'm buying a bag of Cheetos. So, yeah, fuck that. Yeah. Fuck the statues. Fuck everything else.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that, like, yeah, somebody literally died trying to protect an institution that was, like, that was built on the brutalization of a people. Hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I could have.
I mean, as a Floridian, I'd like to have a say against that, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't. But as South Carolina can do, South Carolina. I don't expect them to come around anytime soon. To be honest,
I think that's one of the things the administration did. They said, "Let the states vote what they want. Whatever they want, do it. Let's give a fuck. Let the local people figure out what they want and do it and stand by it." Anyway, we got to go. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. By the way, this Wednesday, Wise Guys Comedy Show, I'll be there. Al Ernst is your headliner. Javi Carrion is your feature. And Fazil Malik's going to do a guest spot.
Nice.
Friday and Saturday, I'm headlining Kazi's Comedy Club in Newport News, Virginia. So come out there if you're in the area. How about you?
You can catch, I'm hosting that mic tonight at the 26th Degree Brewery. So come out to Pompano and do a mic tonight at 9. But you can find all my shows at Ethan Is Not Funny on Twitter or Instagram. Check it out.
There you go.
I got a ton of shows actually coming up. Within the month, I know I got the 30th. I'm in Brass Monkey featuring for Ramon Garcia, good guy, stand-up comic. The 9th, actually. And then October, got 19th, I got a show, Pompano. 20th, I got a show, 31st, got a show, 28th, got a show. But all that information can be found at my social media, which is HennessyWills3 on Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook. You can find me at Hennessy Williams. Just, you can find it that way. But again, it's HennessyWills3 on my social media tags on like Snapchat, Instagram, too.
There you go.
Nice.
Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Tomorrow in the studio, myself, Peter Leonard, and Elgin David will be here. So join us again tomorrow around 5:05 on Facebook Live and after on the podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you here next time at the same spot. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground.